because his title was King of the Jews. And he knew that he had not had any children. And even if he was, even if he did, he wasn't ready to relinquish his kingdom to his children. And so what presented itself was, I would say, a disruption or possible disruption to his plan for how things were going to go there in Judea and Israel and that whole area. So what did he do? I think you know the story. He pretended to be interested. He pretended to want to pay homage. He pretended to want to, if there was a Messiah, a king of Israel, to go and kneel before him and pretended to be a good, faithful, religious person who was in touch with God, what God wanted to do. But what really drove his actions was looking for a way to get rid of this possible disruption in the way his life was going to go, and the way the control over the things he had control over, thought he did, was going to be maintained. And so the wise men go. Of course, God disrupts Herod's plan a little bit, because somehow God reveals to the wise men not to go back and report back to Herod. And so instead of being able to find out who this possible king of the Jews is, who this possible disruptor to his power might be, instead of finding out directly from them and being able to go and do a very precise strike, instead he's left in the dark and ends up wiping out all the children who could possibly be this child. Horrific. I mean, just horrific. The amount of damage, the number of children who died because of this one man's fear of his plans getting messed up. We like to think that, at least we're not like that, right? At least we don't have the power. We're not going to wipe out hundreds of thousands of children in order to maintain our vision of the future, to maintain our control. And I hope that none of us are capable of doing that. But there is that impulse within us to want to keep things going the way we want them to go. That tendency to kind of, you know, keep things headed in the same solid path, and things that want to take us off that, we would just prefer that they not show up, that they kind of disappear, that they don't bother us very often. Even if it's something good, sometimes we'll say, yeah, that might be good, but I know what this is like, and I want to get rid of that. We all have that impulse to try to maintain control over our lives so that it goes the way that we want it to go. But the question is, I would put to you, is how do we make room for the divine disruptions? Because that's what happened 2,000 years ago with God becoming human, with God incarnating and fleshing, with the wise men showing up and the shepherds showing up. It was a divine disruption in the way the world was going. And Herod, he couldn't even entertain it. That was his response. But the divine disruptions did not stop. We're in the season of Epiphany. And, the word for that, I think the most literal translation is the revealing or uncovering. But really, it's the season where we point to the divine disruptions that Jesus was. As we continue through this season, it goes on until Lent, that we find out that at the synagogue in Jerusalem, their life got disrupted. All of a sudden, Jesus shows up and saying that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. People who beg are disrupted from their life of all of a sudden they're able to walk. or they're cured of their disease. The lives of some fishermen, a wonderful, predictable way of making a living, got disrupted when Jesus calls them and says, come, follow me and become fishers of people. We'll hear story after story of people's lives who are disrupted because of God being up to something. The disciples recognized God at work and followed. Those that were blind and could see recognized how God was at work. But there were those that when these divine disruptions showed up and there was every opportunity to see what God was doing, instead they fought back. King Herod fought back. The religious leaders fought back. Finally, the whole Roman Empire fought back against what God was up to. How do we become people who are able to recognize divine disruptions in our life? How do we develop the eyes to see when the Spirit is nudging us? When someone is brought into our life in order to reveal God's goodness, how do we recognize that divine disruption as an opportunity to grow in relationship with others and with God, to participate in what God is doing, even if it's something different than the way we want it to work out? How do we do that? There's amongst people who work with youth these days, there's a word they're starting to use quite a bit. It's called resilience. I think the old way of thinking was if we just gave people the right information, gave children the right information, they would make the right decisions and life would work out. But now it's not so much about information. It's the ability that when life happens and it knocks us down, whether we have developed the capacity for resilience. After we get knocked down, instead of just staying down and giving up, what is it that allows to continue to live with hope, to look for how life works given that disruption that we've encountered that we want to say is bad or not good, but is? And so they work on resilience. And I think what we need is faithful resilience. It's the developing that muscle that when life happens, when things don't go according to our plan, especially in a negative way, that we develop the ability to say, how might God use this? How might God use this? To become people who are curious about how God, who is loving and gracious and generous, can strengthen us, can mold us and develop us as things get thrown at us. Surprises, things that throw us off our very carefully constructed plan of life so that life may be more. The season of Epiphany. I invite you to take it on as a season of divine disruptions. Get curious about those little things that happen in your life and the big things that happen in your life that your impulse is just to dismiss and get rid of. But instead, ask the question, what might God be up to in this? How might I make sure that I'm looking for God's hand, for God's desire, for God's will and what's happening? How might I open up my blind eyes to see how God might be performing miracles around me? How might I be welcoming of those divine disruptions that actually wake me up so that life may abound? Welcome to the season of divine disruptions. Amen.